it's peace of mind, really. It's you're buying into a promise of care for the rest of your life.
Welcome to season 8 of Bridge the Gap, a podcast dedicated to informing, educating, and influencing the future of housing and services for seniors. The BTG Network is powered by sponsors
Align, NICMAP,
ProCare HR, Sage, Hamilton CapTel, ServiceMaster, The Bridge Group Construction, and Salinity, and produced by Salinity Marketing.
We got Bridge the Gap podcast in 3, 2. Welcome to Bridge the Gap podcast, the senior living podcast. I'm your host, Josh, and I am so excited. We have an awesome guest today. So excited for our listeners to meet Dina Wilson, Director of Marketing and Sales at Westminster Village. Can't wait for our audience to hear more from you. Welcome to the show, Dina.
Thank you so much, Josh. I have been a longtime listener. I was said before we started recording that nearly 10, your whole 10 years, I've been a fan and listened every week. So I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Wow. Well, that is awesome to hear. It's so good to not only connect with you, but to hear that story. Sometimes, you know, when we're just talking to our guests, we know a lot of people listen and watch the show, but connecting, and especially to an OG, an original listener that has been with us. So thank you for listening and thanks for being a part. So coming away from just listening to being an active part, you have been a professional in this space for so long. And so I want to spend a little bit of time just allowing our audience to understand more of who you are, your background, and then we'll talk a little bit about what's special about Westminster Village and all that you got going on there. So dive in. Where's your history been in this space, in this industry?
Speaking of being an OG, I feel like I've grown up and spent my life in this business. And I started in 1999 at Sunrise Senior Living as a director of community relations, and learned a lot there. I moved then to an Illinois, most of my career has been in Illinois. I moved to the affordable assisted living space, the supportive living program in the state of Illinois that's unique to Illinois, and opened some of the first communities that were part of that program, and spent about 7 years doing that, and then moved into the nonprofit world and assisted living and independent living and memory care in operations. I moved from sales into operations for about 18 years. And then about 3 years ago now, I moved to Terre Haute to be closer to my family. I grew up not far from here in Illinois. And one of my children married and settled here in Terre Haute. And that's what brought me to Terre Haute. And now coming to Terre Haute is my first experience in a life plan community or continuing care retirement community. So I feel like I've touched about every area, for-profit, nonprofit, affordable, all areas of the senior living world. So,
well, that's an exciting history and congratulations on all your success. And And that's what makes these podcasts so valuable to our listeners. We have such a broad audience, and sometimes I forget how many different listeners that we have and their different perspectives. So from the consumer's perspective, that is just hearing what you're saying, even terms like life plan and CCRC and the for-profit and non-for-profit, and what does that mean? And so I'd like for you to unpack just a little bit. When we talk about Westminster Village, and you said a life plan community and CCRC, one in the same, is that different things? Is that a new term for an old model, or what is that? And what do you guys do there at Westminster Village?
One in the same, I would say. So continuing CCRC or continuing care retirement community has been the language around what we do for many, many years. And I think maybe 4 or 5 years ago is when the term life plan came about. And that really describes what it is that Westminster Village and other communities like us do. It's a different concept. It's where there is entrance fee to the community that guarantees care for life. So if somebody is coming in at the independent living level, whether it's our apartments or our villa homes, it is our hope by them learning about our community, it is their desire to be a part of one place. As they move through their journey, their life journey, and their needs change, they don't have to go back to search again for the next step. They know they have a place in our community, which offers our villa homes, our independent living apartments, and assisted living and 24-hour skilled nursing care in our health center. So it's peace of mind, really. You're buying into a promise of care for the rest of your life.
Well, that's a great explanation. And so a few words that you mentioned and phrases I want to pick out, because you said peace of mind. So having that continuum for a prospective family or resident to understand that no matter what level they're coming in at, they should be able to be a level of services and support and housing for them for the duration of their life. And so you also said where they can invest, right? And so that's maybe something that we don't often in senior living associate with that term, is like, wow, I'm really investing in something here. So take us down that pathway of thinking and how that fleshes itself out into reality when a prospective family or resident approaches you and you're sort of educating them on what that means to invest in their community.
I always start with what makes us different, what's our niche. And in the Terre Haute market, we are the only continuing care retirement community within, really, from us to Indianapolis and over, there's some in Urbana, Illinois. There's very few in our area. We're the only ones in our county or the surrounding county. So I start by explaining that with our entrance fee, that they, if they financially qualify and they deposit to our community, they have access, priority access to all levels of care as their needs change, versus in lovely other communities in our city. But if their needs changed, they have to go back to the search, go back to find out, well, you know, starts researching assisted living communities just to see where they're going to move to next. But in our community, they're investing in that promise of care, and that we're one staff, one community, and they don't have to move again. They don't have to get used to a new staff. They just stay within their home that they've chosen, and we meet their needs as they change. So that's, I start by educating that, because it is confusing to the consumer. There's so many different options for senior living, and they all work a little bit different. But in a life plan community, it's just so nice, just because you know where you're going to spend the rest of your life. So, and that it's the same team, same community, and just gives people a lot of comfort to know they don't have to change again in the future. So,
yeah. And, you know, one of the things that I've always loved when I've gotten the opportunity to meet to tour life plan communities or CCRC campuses is the level oftentimes of engagement and sort of this personal investment that the residents make in helping make their campus, their community, really how they want their community to be. And I heard a little bit about this program that you guys, for lack of a better term, have called the Resident Trust Fund. Is that correct? Can you explain a little bit more about that? Because I thought that was really an interesting way that you guys do things.
Yes, it is unique and it is resident driven. The residents created a board and their own 501c3 nonprofit for other residents or family members make contributions to that fund. And those funds go to support community initiatives. Maybe there's service or amenity that isn't necessarily part of our operational plan, but it would be not the nice to haves, I guess. And so this year alone, our residents have been so very generous to us. And a couple of just some highlights of a few things that they've provided. Believe it or not, they started by contributing new culinary equipment, kitchen equipment. We have a new executive chef who is amazing. He came on, and there's just a different level of cooking and dining services that we wanted to move to, and we needed the equipment to be able to do that. And they provided that. Several thousand dollars it costs for that new equipment, a new bus for our community. We've always had two buses to provide transportation to our residents. One of them needed retired many, many years ago. And so we were able to do that because our residents worked with our director of plant operations to do research on a new bus. And they provided that. Our piano, we have a very active community in that we have the symphony in our building once a month. We have live entertainment, concerts, performances through the universities that are in our city. We're very integrated and very connected. And many of our residents are retired professors. And specifically, this gentleman is a retired music director at Indiana State University. And our piano was the original piano when we opened in 1981. And actually, I think it came in 1984 and also needed retired. And so our resident trust funded a brand new grand piano for our community. So everyone can enjoy it. And so that's just some of the things they've done recently, which are incredible, absolutely incredible. And it's unique to any place I've ever been that the residents just, they promote that fund. They do all the work to raise the funds. Other residents or team members can submit proposals for something that the community might need or enjoy, improve, you know, bring joy and improve the quality of life. And they review the proposals and they decide what they're going to fund. And so they're really incredible. Our residents act like owners of our community. I mean, they really do care and bring, they're so supportive of our team and our whole community. They're my number one referral source, honestly, is truly. I mean, digital is great and it's working as well, but side by side, we have a number of resident referrals and residents comes to us that way. So they're very active and supportive.
Well, that's a great segue. But gosh, what a really creative opportunity I would say that you all have created there to allow someone that's moving to a community to not lose their sense of involvement, purpose, and the ability that I think all have within us to want to be generous and be part of improving the things around us, and especially our home, right? And so why, when we reach a certain age and needs basis, should all that go away? And so congratulations and thank you for the work, because I know that that is probably not easy to set that up. And I think you said that's even its own 501c3.
The residents created that themselves. So
yeah. So what an awesome story. And thank you for sharing that. I know ears are perking up to our listeners and everybody's intrigued by that and will want to know more and connect with you. So you touched on that has become a great part of the Westminster Village story that ends up being a part of the referral process for you, to where your greatest ambassadors for the village is probably the residents that are loving life at Westminster. So with that, in a life plan community in this sort of modern digital age, and you're the director of all that marketing and sales, what does marketing and sales look like for you on sort of a daily basis and sort of a strategic basis of who you're targeting, how you're getting the message to them? And is that in a very small kind of primary defined market, or do you find that it's become more of a destination?
Appreciate the question. It has changed. When I started in this industry, like I said, in 1999, sales and marketing looks very different. Coming back to it in 2022, when I came back to Westminster Village, and I had supervised my sales and marketing directors over all the years. But it has definitely changed, and it takes a lot of creativity and just a whole different approach. And so we do not use paid aggregators for 2 years now, so which has felt really good. And so, and we're producing about 30 organic leads a month consistently. And so that is great. Our residents, as I said, are one of our top referral sources. And so we continue to foster that relationship constantly. I have a committee of residents called marketing ambassadors, and I meet with them every month, and sometimes some of them daily, to talk about ideas and ways to bring their friends into the community, different educational seminars, things like that, that they can understand the life plan, they can prepare for their future and know how Westminster's Village is different, and prepare for that for when they're ready. In addition, one of the new things that we are working with our management company on is because we're so close to Indianapolis, and there are multiple continuing care retirement communities in Indianapolis, and we're over in Terre Haute all by ourselves. And a few people have been coming back to Terre Haute that have ties and roots in Terre Haute. And so our approach is going to be to connect with those life plan CCRCs in Indianapolis who may be at capacity, 100% capacity, who may, they're at a much different price point than we are in Terre Haute, and really partner with them to get those referrals from them. If there's somebody that has ties to Terre Haute, just to partner with them to present our community as an option to them. And then we would give back to that organization in by way of maybe they have a resident trust or a fund that or a cause that means a lot to them that we can make a contribution to, just and as a partnership to thank them for telling their prospects about us, who may not, for one reason or another, be a fit for their community. So, so that's very creative in and of itself. And we're just kicking that off. So, we're excited about that. But it is a different way of marketing these days. Coming back to it, I've learned quick, and with the support of our marketing agency, we're doing really well. So, without paid referrals. So,
well, that is amazing. And congratulations. I think that is probably what most communities that are listening, leaders are aspiring to do. So you're probably going to have people in your inbox wanting to pick your brain. And thank you for being, so just transparent. One of the main reasons that me and Lucas started this podcast was to bridge that gap, because there's so many awesome providers out there that want to not only be a part of making their community better, but making this process and this experience better for those residents and families that need the home. And so congratulations on that success. And it's very evident at the purposeful, intentional programming that you guys put in place to make that all happen. I would not want to miss out too, in all of your spare time that you have, you're also quite the philanthropist and very involved with helping raise money for Alzheimer's. Tell me a little bit about your involvement in that.
2 years ago when I came to Terre Haute, through Westminster and a sponsorship of the Alzheimer's Walk that year. The next year, I joined the committee. And then this year, I was asked to serve as the executive chair of the 2025 Walk to End Alzheimer's in Terre Haute. And so we are busy as a chair of the walk in the committee, but also at Westminster Village. We are one of the lead sponsors of the walk. And we had a huge growth in our team last year. We're looking forward to having 40 plus people on our team again this year. And we were the lead fundraiser for the walk last year. And we do that through resident donations, of course, team members fundraising for their own to people to support them through the walk, but also through events where, like, for example, a pancake breakfast we had last year, and just all the money from that going to donate to our team fundraising. This year we're planning a car show. And so just a lot of small activities that add up to a good amount of funds for the association. So we're excited about that. The walk is September 27th. And so we've got a jump start on it this year. And so we hope to beat our targets from last year. So we're excited about that.
Well, that is awesome. Well, Dina, thank you for taking time out of your crazy busy schedule to share some of your life experience, share about Westminster Village, and all the work that you do there with the Alzheimer's Association. It's such a great opportunity. And thank you for listening for all these years and being a fan of Bridge the Gap. It's folks like you that make it possible. So thanks for joining us today.
I am honored. I'm a little starstruck, if you will. Again, after listening for so long, I never anticipated being a guest on the show. I always enjoy the guests and learn so much. So to be asked to be on the show is a huge honor. So I appreciate that very much.
Thank you for those kind words. And Dina, our audience is getting information, education from you today. We're going to connect our audience directly to you and the Westminster Village in our show notes for all of you listeners or those of you that may be viewing. You'll be able to connect with Dina and her community and all that she's doing. And if you're lucky, she might even let you pick her brain some more in the future.
Absolutely.
But we want to thank everyone for listening to another great episode of Bridge the Gap. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to Bridge the Gap podcast with Josh and Lucas. Connect with the BTG Network team and use your voice to influence the industry by connecting with us at btgvoice.com.